post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Hi, and welcome to the Near Post, going out to you on 2XX FM and, well, various online formats. I am Nick, and today with me in the studio I have Jeff, who is also from the Central Coast. Thank God I can finally rant about the Mariners and not have my fun made of me. How are you today, Jeff?
Good, thanks, Nick. Yeah, all well.
Okay, so we've got another big week of football news to discuss. Obviously, two action-packed days of football have just passed, and there's some interesting games coming up this week, especially given the Christmas holidays. We've got two rounds in about 4 days, so strap yourselves in, guys. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so first off, if you want to tell us how much you like the show, you can contact us on our email, nearpostradio@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on our blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, which is run by a former Near Post member, Eamon. And you can follow us under iTunes, under the name Near Post Football. Subscribe, rate us, hopefully 5-star rating. If not, we may have to delete you. So far, yeah, we've had a really nice week of football just happened, and I'm going to kick it off with a show dedication, and I'm going to give it to Tony Popovich. He has taken this Western Sydney Wanderers side from scratch to what was their finest, arguably their finest hour on the weekend, which was a 6-1 shellacking of Adelaide United on Friday night at Parramatta Stadium. Jeff, how well do you think Tony's gone so far this season?
Oh, Nick, I think he's done a great job. He's taken a team from players that clubs didn't want. He's brought in a couple of players from overseas. But he's really got them playing extremely well. They're very strong at the back. You've got Topos Stanley and you've got Beecham in there in the centre. And, you know, these were two guys that were struggling to hold positions last year in their other clubs that they were at. So I think he's really got his back four working well. And that's proved it, and obviously Bridges, you know, scoring the hat trick the other night was a fantastic effort for him.
Yeah, well, Mark Bridge, almost got him mixed up with the Newcastle Jets striker. He was their only multiple goal scorer before this match. He's now on 5 goals for the season. Can't say I was too impressed with his time in Sydney FC, but hopefully he will be able to, you know, get some more for Wanderers, because that's really what they've been lacking. However, though, their defence has been is the second best in the league, but aside from the Mariners, and I think that's a real credit to Popovich, because that sort of thing, defence, always takes a really long time to build. You see defensive partnerships form over years, not months, but Topper Stanley and Beecham have dovetailed well together, the likes of Tarek Elrich on the right and Deputso on the left have just slotted into his lineup as well. The midfield, I think, is the real key there, because you get a lot of sides who their midfielders, when the play breaks, they don't chase back. They just kind of stop, let the play happen, and then God be damned if there is a goal scored against them. But I think it's really more about the collective that Popovich is focused on. Obviously, Sydney FC has had the problem with Del Piero being the main focus. I mean, Ono has brought a little bit of gloss to this A-League side, but it's really more about the Wanderers' image being perpetuated through the Western Sydney area, which has been, well, phenomenal, if you ask me. They're now sitting, I believe, in about fourth place, which, given their short history, is a phenomenal achievement. I'll move on to some news now. And moving a bit north here, we've got some news coming out of Brisbane Roar, where Rado Vidicic has actually been moved aside, shall we say, from his position of head coach. He's now become the technical director for the club. And former Gold Coast United coach, albeit somewhat briefly, Mike Mulvey will step into the first team coach's role. Now, obviously, Vidicic has struggled a little bit since Postecoglou has left the club. The Roar are now sitting second last in the ladder. Do you reckon this change will actually benefit Brisbane Roar?
Yeah, I do, Nick. I think the previous coach, he was a very technical guy, but I don't think he was his communication with his players wasn't that great.
He wasn't the perfect man motivator?
He probably was, but I just think that from listening to him and the way he gets across, maybe he's a bit too abrasive with his players. Maybe they did not like that. And maybe Mike coming in now will be a bit more a pat on the back man.
So they need a bit more of a better public face as well, would you think?
I agree.
Yeah,
yeah, I do. Even though Radu was very technical and very precise with what he did, I think it comes to, you know, getting the guys up on game day.
Yeah, I think a similar situation here that we've got here is the German national team back in 2006 when they had Jürgen Klinsmann, who was really just the words guy. He was able to, you know, speak to the press really well, motivate his players, and get the whole country behind them. Whereas Joachim Löw, his assistant, was the man with the brain and the tactics and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Obviously, Löw has stepped up to the plate in terms of managing the national team, but I think the press in Germany are a bit more supportive, whereas in Australia, you kind of get the paparazzi sort of vibe where they just look to take you to pieces whenever there's an opening, that sort of thing, especially in this sort of hostile press environment where you've got the other codes really looking over their shoulder when soccer starts to make some strides forward. So look, I think Vidicic is a very smart football man. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to adjust to being fully in the spotlight, but look, hopefully Brisbane Roar will be able to resurrect their season. Well, it's not really down the toilet just yet, but hopefully they'll be able to show us a bit more of last season's football rather than what they've displayed so far, because it has been rather average, unfortunately, especially on Friday night, where they were defeated 1-0 by Perth Glory. Now, Stephen McGarry with a beautiful goal to give his side the win. It was a pretty good match, I have to say. Unfortunately, Brisbane Roar, as has been the case for most of this season, they have dominated the possession, but they just haven't found that cutting edge. There's been a lack of drive or in purpose, shall we say, from their side. Maybe this is a long-reaching effect of Matt McKay departing. But look, the fact of the matter is Brisbane Roar lost another match at home, and look, It's not good enough. For the second largest city, third largest city, sorry, in Australia, we really need Brisbane Roar to be dominating their home matches, getting some good home support coming along, because games like Orange Sunday, where we had a full 40,000-seater crowd, were just phenomenal atmosphere. In a stadium like Suncorp, you really need at least 20,000 for it to be a moderately fun game to be at. So look,
and their numbers were down, Nick, last weekend. They were only about 11,500, I think, for the game. So, and I think obviously Burrish is carrying a bit more injury than what is known. You know, he's just not his sharp self. He's not chasing, he's not pushing up on the field and chasing those back four players and putting pressure on those defenders as what he was doing last year.
Yeah, that was always a hallmark of Brisbane Roar. They'd like to press high up the pitch, and always they would force the defence into errors, which Berisha and his supporting players would be able to pounce on and get a quick goal. But yeah, that hasn't happened this season. Berisha's been a shadow of himself. We may have had some problems with Thomas Broich as well. He is starting to get a little bit further past the edge of 30, and he just hasn't been able to show the spark he has since arriving in the A-League. Just go back to some more news that came through this week. And Perth Glory were thrown into doubt. Their future was thrown into doubt during the week when several companies owned by Tony Sage had their offices raided by the federal police. Now, there's been an ongoing investigation by the Australian Crime Office and all that sort of jazz about possible criminal activities. Fortunately, though, Perth Glory have come out later and said that they were not affected. Sage's companies are still going strong, and the future of Perth Glory is still, you know, very much a future, which is which is great, obviously, because Perth Glory are the real link that we have to the NSL. So I think that, you know, a good Perth Glory is good for the A-League. Okay, and we just got another final piece of news. So Terry Antonis has been subject to a lot of speculation because he did only have about 6 months left on his contract. He was running to the final year. He has been one of the hottest properties in Australian football for a couple of seasons now, since leaving Everton because of changes to the youth contract laws over there. And look, he's signed a new contract. He's going to be here till the end of the 2013-2014 season, which is great for Sydney, great for Frank Farina. A little bit disappointing for Fulham, though, because apparently they were the leading club in the race for his signature. Look, so what do you think, Jeff? Should he jump ship to a bigger club now, or is it better for him to stay and get some more match experience?
Yeah, no, I think it's better for Terry to stay probably another full season in the A-League at least, and then look at maybe perhaps to go overseas after that. He had a recent call-up for the Socceroos, so I think he's earmarked to be a future player for for the national side in years to come. So I think to go now and maybe play lower grades with an EPL team is not the best thing for him personally.
When you've got the chance to play regularly in the flagship competition of your country, especially with someone as experienced in his position as Alessandro Del Piero to guide you, I think, look, he'd be stupid to leave right now.
Mm.
And so, give it a few more months, maybe put some more consistent displays on his belt, because, look, there's been flashes of brilliance, I admit, but what we need from young players is consistency before we can say, yes, they're definitely ready for that next step.
Yeah, and I think he's going to learn that from Del Piero, so yeah. I think it's a good move for him to stay again another season, and hopefully Del Piero will stay another season too for Sydney.
Yeah, so that shifts a lot of the speculation in regarding this January transfer window over to the Mariners, unfortunately, because Matt Ryan, the star keeper of the A-League for the last two seasons, let's be honest, he's also in the final year of his contract, and he still has not negotiated a new deal. So as it stands, he's really got quite a few clubs circling, to be honest, because, to get someone of his calibre at a cut price fee would be wonderful for them. Horrific for us, I must admit. Well, so what is your view there, Jeff? Should he sign a new contract for at least maybe another couple of seasons, or should he jump ship now?
I think Nicky's ready to go now. I think his standard of his football has increased a lot more over the last 12 months. I know Graham Arnold was talking about possibly he should stay on to see the end of the season now. But look, if there's the opportunity there where this guy can go and make some serious money and to set himself up for a big portion of his life, geez, why not go for it? You know, he has the skill, he has the ability to do it. So as much as I say it as being a Mariners fan, good luck, Matty. If you get the contract, it works out for you and the money is there.
Yeah. Do you think that he might follow a similar path to Mustapha Amini and transfer to a club but be loaned back for another 6 months or maybe a full season?
Well, I think that'd be great. You know, obviously, Musty has done extremely well in Germany from what we've seen over the net the last few months and his skill and the games that he's playing now. So that's a possibility. But, obviously he could go to like a third grade side in England to up his skills a bit more, get some more playing time there. So, I think it's just a fact of life. I think these guys, that's something that the Mariners do and the A-League clubs do. They groom players to go overseas, and if they can kick on and do well, and all good for the Socceroos and the national teams.
Yeah. Moving on to the weekend's matches. And the other match from Friday night, which we have mentioned in passing earlier in the show, Western Sydney Wanderers 6, Adelaide United 1. It was an absolute bloodbath. I can't really describe it. When I read this result, I was just like, are you sure they didn't get it the wrong way around? Because Western Sydney, they've only scored 8 goals before this match, but bam, to put 6 past Adelaide United, one of the form sides of the league, mind you, is just shattering. It's just mind-shattering. I can't really fathom it, to be quite honest. Look, obviously, Mark Bridge got a hat-trick there. There was some pretty shocking Adelaide defending. Specifically, I do think there was a couple chances there where, look, the defenders just left their players in absolute acres of space and they would have sent them home. Eugene Galekovic was a little bit unlucky where his goal kick found a Wanderers player and the ball was basically put straight back into his net. And then we had that final goal from Joe Gibbs where he was given about 20 seconds on the edge of the box just to take his time and just put the ball in the back of the net. So, look, is this finally Adelaide United just feeling the effects of their early campaign where they had to go all those miles through the ACL and all that sort of stuff? Or is it just a minor blip on the radar and they'll be back to their best next week? What do you think, Jeff?
I think, Nick, it was just an off night for them. Western Sydney were just on fire that night. Bridge was finding space. Sorry, can you read me the Dutchman that...
Yusuf Hersey.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was so sharp and quick and just would whip the ball in. And it's very unusual for the Adelaide keeper to be caught so flat-footed. I think in about three or four of those goals, he just seemed to be back on his heels and just completely missed the root of the ball. So, full credit to the Wanderers. They just played brilliantly and they just... the hype of the game, and they were just up for it, whereas Adelaide just did not show up for the night.
They definitely took a lot of heart out of that win last week against the in the Sydney Derby, I think. So it's really good to see them doing well, and hopefully they can continue that good run of form. So we'll move to Saturday now, and kicking off the day was Wellington Phoenix and our beloved Central Coast Mariners. Unfortunately, though, it was a 1-1 draw after Daniel McGreen did open the scoring, but Danny Sanchez was able to grab a equaliser late on for the Phoenix. Now, you did see the game, Jeff. What do you think? Was that a 0.1 or 2 points lost in Wellington for the Mariners?
It was 2 points lost, Nick. Mariners were all over him for 85 minutes of the game. About 82 minutes of the game, and they had it pretty well controlled. A couple of errors from the back four, which allowed them to obviously get that goal. And then it was the Mariners were under pressure to hold on for the remaining 7 or 8 minutes of the game. But, yeah, I think even though Arnie has come out and said he was happy to pick up the point, I think it was one that... they should have picked up the 3 points on that one.
Is it a sign of a lack of experience maybe from a central defender, Trent Sainsbury? Because obviously Alex Wilkinson would have been playing this game. He's been around for, six, seven years now. He really knows his stuff. Would he have brought that extra composure needed to keep the defence out for another 7 minutes?
I don't think so. I think Sainsbury and Patrick have played so well on the back... In the centre there. What happened with the goal was Josh Rose seemed to get outmuscled by the scorer for Phoenix, and Matty Ryan was like on the far post. He just had no idea where the ball was going. So it was a bit of a favour by the keeper and also by Rose. But, that's football, and things can turn so quickly.
Do you think maybe the Mariners should have been a couple goals further up before this one was conceded?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, Rajic had a fantastic chance in the first half there. It was a one-on-one against the keeper, even though he was further out. But that'll come with time. He's only a young guy, so maybe it was a bit of lack of experience there. But, I think the Mariners are still on track to win a lot more games.
Cool. So we'll move on to the big match of the round, shall we say. It was the Melbourne Derby. And look, Archie Thompson, what more can we say? A 92nd minute winner in the Melbourne Derby just before Christmas. Postecoglou couldn't have asked much more for that from Santa. So look, Marco Rojas opened the scoring. He's been the standout so far from this campaign. He's been scoring handfuls of points for me in Fantasy A-League. I've got to say, I love it. Melbourne Heart, though, did show a bit of fight. Came back a bit later on with a goal to... just lost my place there for a second. Okay, Fred, there we go. Fred, the Melbourne Heart skipper, former Victory player, did grab the equalising goal, but just showed a lack of dedication to that final few minutes. And, Archie Thompson did what he does best, pounce with the goal opening when it came to him, and they will get bragging rights for this round. And Melbourne Victory move up to third on the ladder. They're really starting to close the gap between them and themselves and Adelaide United. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out over the course of the season. But what did you think of the game, Jeff? Was it a really good atmosphere?
It was a fantastic game, Nick. I thought there was end-to-end football. Archie, he just runs those angles and to get the through ball from Rajic and chip the keeper. It was a fantastic goal. And I just thought it was full of... strong, hard tackles. There was no malice in the challenges, but it was just a really, really good game of football. Really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's to fill out at the stadium down there in Melbourne, which is a great achievement. I think it's the Melbourne Derby will pick up to be better things in years to come.
However, though, do you think that this defeat may have negatively impacted upon the Hearts standing in the football community in Melbourne?
I don't think so. There was there seemed to be like 50-50 crowd, and there's a lot of Hearts supporters out there. And I just think that Aloisi is obviously is a new young coach. Maybe he has to look at grinding out a win or grinding out a draw as such, being 1-1 and then letting, you know, obviously the goal in the last 2 or 3 minutes. But again, as a spectacle, I thought it was great, and I think just it's such a great thing for Melbourne to have two football teams in the city now.
Yeah, well, obviously they've been around for a few seasons now, so hopefully the Heart will continue to build some strong ties with the Melbourne football community and produce a few more memorable matches such as this one. So we'll go to the final match of the weekend, and Newcastle Jets got their first win in over five games with a 2-1 victory over Sydney FC at Hunter Stadium on Saturday. So Sydney FC is still last on the ladder, unfortunately, for them, but Newcastle Jets have finally stopped the slide with a nice win. Emil Heskey finally grabbed another goal. He started the season on fire, tailed off a little bit, and then, you know, he's back to some decent form, hopefully. Craig Goodwin, the former Melbourne Heart player, speaking of them, he was the other goal scorer. He's been a standout so far this season. Can't imagine why Melbourne Heart actually let him go, but look, Gary Van Egmont's brought the best out of him, and hopefully they can he can continue to develop for the next couple of years. What did you think of the match, Jeff? Was it a fairly even encounter, or were Newcastle on top of this one?
Oh, Newcastle, I think we're all over Sydney, to be honest. Del Piero, he tried very hard. Goodwin, as you mentioned, he's a very classy player on the left-hand side. He's got the skills to beat many players. And I just think that there was a game that got away from Sydney. They didn't chase well. Losing Emerton in the first half, he had some stomach bug or so he had to go off early. But it's a lot of work for Farina, I think, to get Sydney back up into the playoffs.
Just a question. It's come out recently that they've added Joel Griffiths to their roster. He will come over, I think, January 1st because of the FIFA transfer laws. But how do they have room in this salary cap? Because we obviously they did let a few players go, but they brought in some as well. Then they've signed Jason Kleiner and Joel Griffiths mid-season, both who have played for Australia, let's be honest. Mm. So where is this money coming from? They forked out a lot of money for Del Piero. Obviously, that was outside the salary cap. But when you can afford to sign two internationals mid-season, when you supposedly are fitting your players within a salary cap, is there some sort of diversifying of funds, shall we say, going on in the Sydney FC backroom?
Not so sure with that one, Nick. I'm not an accountant, but it's just obviously they've juggled their figures to do that. But I think Del Piero has been absolutely outstanding for the start of the A-League and the marquee players they've brought in. Heskey, again, great. Western Sydney and, what's in front of that, whether Beckham comes for some of the clubs for the Asian Champion League, who knows? But I like to see those players there. I like to see them encourage the younger ones, and I think it's all good. It might be against Graham Arnold's philosophy about having marquee players, but I think on the whole it's not too bad for the A-League.
Yeah, well, he's definitely brought some renewed interest to what was a flagging identity in Sydney FC's football. Mm. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for, basically, this weekend. I'm just going to quickly go through the matches coming up this week. On Boxing Day, we've got Adelaide United at home to Brisbane Roar. That should be an interesting match. On the Thursday, the 27th, we've got Wellington Phoenix kicking off the day against Melbourne Heart at Westpac Stadium again. Sydney FC versus Central Coast Mariners at Allianz Stadium. That's going to be a cracker of a game, I believe. Closing out the day, we will have Perth Glory hosting the Wanderers, who've come fresh off that 6-1 victory. And to finish the round, we've got on Friday, Melbourne Victory at home to Newcastle Jets. We do have some results. Some matches on the 31st and the 1st. We've got the usual New Year's Eve class, Mariners versus Perth Glory, Adelaide United versus Sydney FC following that. And then on the 1st, Melbourne Heart versus Newcastle Jets, Wanderers versus Victory following that. And then to finish off the summer of football, we've got Brisbane Roar taking on Wellington Phoenix at Suncorp. Thanks for coming in, Jeff. And
you're welcome, Nick.
And if you're going to the near post, guys, get there first.
Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.